Welcome back to the Dog Owners Pod. If you run or are looking to build on your relationship with your dog or know someone who would enjoy this episode, then please share it with them. In this episode, you will hear from running coach and Canicross enthusiast Louise Humphrey and Canicross and Pilates instructor Michelle Mortimer. Michelle and Louise have their own podcast, Canicross Conversations. I'll tag them on the Dog Owners Pod Instagram page so you can find and listen to them as well.
Do you find, Michelle, that the harness, well, actually with any of the dogs, do you find that the harness, like you mentioned before, Louise, it's almost as if they're going into their job? Does that help with Poppy's reactivity at all? Is she in the zone when she's got the harness on? Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. She is still reactive, but if I take her out on a walk, she will bark at a lot more dogs. If she's running, she's happy. She's just running. She's focused. She's working hard for me.
Yeah, she doesn't feel the need. And it's a bit like you said, Louise, with the ducks and the canal, we've had a similar instance. There were swans, they disappeared into the canal with me attached. Wow. But she doesn't actually have as much of a prey drive as I think, you know, as you talk about Pickle having. She's happy to just kind of walk past them once they've said their piece. But when they have the harness on, it really does, it's as if they have a job to do, and they know that they have a job to do. So from that side of things, you know, I can imagine that will help with training, especially adolescents. But at what age would you recommend going into Canicross with a dog?
Really depends on the dog breed.
Okay.
We've chatted to a lot of vets about this, haven't we, Louise, for our podcast, and it's always advised to just take your dog for a checkup with your vet. Get them to have a feel around, make sure that they're fully grown, basically, that the bones have fused together as they should have done. Because the vet will be able to feel that in an instant if they've got some more growing to do. And that we usually say don't canicross with dog under one. But I know some people do, some people are okay with that. It is a very individual thing, but I think always just check with your vet.
I think, I'm going to be controversial here, maybe not.
Yeah, go on.
You can put a dog in a harness before they're one, so you can start to teach them at a walking pace.
Yeah.
And then the other really important thing is to slowly build it up. So even whatever age a dog is, you know, just don't go out and run 5K with them. You need to build it up because they're, you know, if they're a pulling dog, it's hard work for them, and they might be able to run miles, but they stop, start as well. So it's like building yourself up, you know, when you start to do the catch to 5K or whatever that they need to build up to.
Yeah. If you think about it with Canicross for a dog, it's like resistance training for us, isn't it? Because the dog's kind of pulling, you've got the weight of you behind them, because we're never going to be able to keep up with our dogs, let's be honest. We'll try our best, but that's why they're there. You know, they're helping us along. So your dog's doing a lot of work. So, yeah, it is important to make sure that they build up to it and that they can handle it.
Yeah, and I think with Fig as well, she doesn't always know when to stop. I mean, she's just turned two. So I think having that control as well, being able to limit how much that they do at any kind of time is probably good for them as well. Okay, so we've covered the one thing I was going to ask with equipment, where would you recommend? I mean, is it just a case of Googling waist belts?
There's some really good stores around. There's a lot of companies that do it, but a couple of online stores that are really worth looking at are Inner Wolf and Canine Trail Time as well. So I've just been at Crufts actually working for Nonstop, which are one of the biggest companies that do it. Brilliant equipment, really well made. It's Swedish, Norwegian, isn't it? I should know that, having just worked for them.
I was going to ask you about your Crufts experience. I'm so excited to ask you about that as well.
Yeah, so there is some really good kit around, but I've tried lots of different. I know Michelle has. We've tried it all, but you come to find out what's best.
What I would say is before you buy kit online, find somebody local to you, because there'll be people around with kit bags. You can go and try them on and they'll find one that suits your dog, because it's really hard to find the right fitting harness.
Yeah.
Buy it online, it's likely that it won't be right. So, yeah, go and find somebody who can fit it for you, who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's funny, actually. I'm going to have a gait analysis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. It's, I mean, similar sort of principle in terms of trying to make sure that it suits, you know, that your dog is wearing the right equipment as well as you wearing the right equipment, so that you're both kind of comfortable.
Yeah.
How long, roughly, I mean, I suppose how long's a piece of string, but in terms of Canny Cross, is there a length of time, do you say like minimum 5k, or it could be anything really?
Yeah. These days it can be absolutely anything. The people we've talked to on the podcast, again, it's all about building your dog up to that mileage. Yeah. But so 5k tends to be races. There are a lot longer. There's 10k races.
There are races though as well out there. There are like
3. Yeah, there's the ultras.
Yeah.
There's, so people are doing more ultras, but it all started off around 5k.
Yeah.
So that's what we race because it's short and fast.
The breeds, again, you know, I can kind of, having listened to your podcasts, I know the conversations that you guys have had over the breeds that can kind of, that are really bred to do this as well. But do you guys have any recommendations in terms of breeds? I mean, I'm not about to start canny crossing with my pug cross Jack Russell, although I have just seen a video on TikTok of a dachshund doing canny cross. So
I've trained a dachshund.
It is possible. But would you say there isn't any particular breed?
It's just the, and I can never say the thing, it's the short-nosed ones that maybe have difficulty breathing.
Yeah, otherwise every dog is able to do it. Not necessarily every dog will want to do it.
We have a really good Jack Russell. In fact, we've got a couple of Jack Russells in our group that are so fast.
Yeah, my mum's got a Jack Russell and he loves it whenever he comes to stay. My daughter takes him out. He loves it.
Yeah.
Jack Russells, I think they're so underestimated. Yeah. Lily looks more like a pug, but Jack Russell at heart. And we started doing flyball with her.
Did you see that on Crofts the other night?
Because she's obsessed with the tiny tennis balls, so we had to switch out the normal ones. And she used to do flyball, which she absolutely adored. So maybe there is hope. I hadn't realised that you can actually run with more than one dog.
We've got one person that runs with four.
Yeah,
they're not small dogs.
Yeah. I mean, that's serious. How do you even try to kind of manage four dogs around your pelvis?
You have to train them.
It's the training and the commands. Yeah. It is the most important thing about canny cross, making sure they're trained and they know what they're doing.
Yeah, because of course safety is going to be a huge part of this. I mean, in terms of incidences, is there any kind of common injuries that you come across with canny cross, or
what, for the dogs?
Dogs and humans, really.
Canny cross is actually safer for dogs, isn't it? We were talking to a vet physio about this, and we see fewer injuries in canny cross dogs because they're more controlled. They're under control, aren't they? They're not sprinting about fields chasing balls and things. But for humans, I don't know. What do you think, Louise?
For humans, I think it's the same. Well, canny cross, if you've got a strong pulling dog, it will change your running style or your running technique slightly. So you might overstride a little bit more. So the load going through your body is going to be, you know, a little bit more intense. But as with any runner, you should be doing strength anyway, because the stronger you are, the less likely to get injuries. So, yeah, you will get injuries canny crossing, but you will get injuries running a 5K, you know. So you've just got to support your body.
Yeah,
which is another thing we're quite passionate about as well.
Yes, so in terms of strength training, I mean, again, as a kind of beginner, so I do actually go to the gym. I've been doing kickboxing, but before then I was doing kind of strength training. But for someone that hasn't done any strength training, would you recommend anything in particular, whether it's kind of Pilates or, you know, going to the gym and lifting weights? What would you recommend?
Well, like everything, you need to learn to do it properly. But obviously, I'm going to say, as a Pilates, for runner's instructor, I'm going to say Pilates. But I still strength train as well. But Pilates is, I always think of it, it's like it holds your body together. So it's core strength, which again is really important, which helps with your posture, really important for your running mechanics. And if you're canny crossing, it's great to have a stronger core as well. And that's low impact. So you can do that on rest days and things like that. I incorporate a lot of standing Pilates and I add weights, I add resistance. So if you've never done it, and a lot of runners shy away from strength training because they don't think it's for them. So come and find us at Studio 44 Pilates, little plug.
Excellent.
Because it's easy to do and it doesn't need to take hours to do.
Yeah, so, I can recommend it. I did a 30-minute class with Louise this morning and I was tired after it, you know. It was
good, that's because I kept correcting you.
Yeah, you were. I was actually doing the exercises properly. Yeah.
If you like the sound of what you've heard so far, please hit follow now on whichever platform you're listening to the episode on.
If you hit follow now, you won't need to spend ages trying to find the podcast for your dog walks. Make life easier for yourself, hit follow, and enjoy the rest of the episode.
And was it a remote class? Do you run?
Yeah, I do them online, so on Zoom. Yeah.
So that's the thing as well, is that, you know, people who want to do strength training alongside their running or canicross can do it at home as well. It's not, you know, you're not having to go.
Yeah, and I mean, my membership, we have another way of doing it as well, don't we, Michelle? But my membership has 10-minute videos that are there all the time in the membership. So you can get, you know, if you're going out for a run or after you come back in, that sort of downtime is really important. It's a really good time to do stuff. So you can just get on the mat and do 10 minutes, you know, of core strength. And it'll have a real impact if you do it consistently.
Yeah.
But yeah, how else could you do it, Michelle?
Well, we have a course. If anybody's interested, our course is called Emily's Laughing Now. We're just shamelessly promoting everything.
We might as well get these plugs in.
Our course is called Get Stronger, Run a Faster 5K. And we do have people on the course at the moment who aren't yet running the 5K distance. So we can help people through the Couch to 5K with that as well. But the aim is to go back to basics, really, because we find a lot of runners start running, don't necessarily know how to, like, future-proof themselves, or, you know, don't know about correct running posture or what to build into the week. So we help with that. So we give them 3 running sessions a week. Louise gives them a Pilates session every week, and we support them through the course.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so you can find out more about that on our website at runafaster5k.com. There'll be another course starting probably later in the spring, won't there? We've not set a date yet, but coming soon.
Oh, that's fantastic. That sounds so ideal, though. Everything just fits hand in hand, really, doesn't it? No, it's so lovely to be able to have some structure as well, because very often people will listen to something like, you know, a podcast, and they're like, yes, I absolutely want to start doing this, but how do I start? What do I do? So to be able to have some structure that you guys are bringing with the course is fantastic. Weather dependent. Is canicross weather dependent?
Well, you shake your head, Michelle, but it is.
Oh, I'm thinking bad weather, actually, yeah. I'm out in all weathers except the heat. We should probably talk about the summer, shouldn't we? Yeah.
So the season is, the main season of canicross is from September to Easter. But that's even changing a little bit, isn't it? Because it's quite hot in September. So running your dogs in heat and high humidity is not a good thing, because the only way they can lose heat or sweat is through breathing, so panting. So the more they pant. I will plug this one because this is a really good, and whether you run or not, if you're a dog owner, you should listen to this. But we had, I think it's our episode number 2 of Canicross Conversations. It's all about heat stroke, and it gives you all the signs. And I know people that have listened to that and actually saved their dogs. So with some really good researchers, Emily Hall and Anne Carter. I was waiting for Michelle to say yes, please, say the right thing. Yeah, so they've done a lot of research into it, mainly on canicross dogs, which was good. So they've seen the extremes. So if you're a dog owner, you should be listening to that one.
Absolutely. It's a bit like a refresher course, because I've had Lils has just turned 8, and Fig's just turned 2. There is an age gap, and you do almost forget sometimes after having a dog for so long. You kind of just think, you know, they know what to do now. It's absolutely fine. But it's lovely to be able to have almost like a refresher course, listening to the podcast with all of the various guests that you have, especially with kind of talking about health and safety. It's
not all about canicross, is it? It's not all about, we've had behaviourists and everything on there, so it's a real mix.
Yeah, I think you've recently had conversations over food, actually fueling your bodies, and the dogs as well, which is, again, one of the aspects that I was hoping to ask you about. Where do you start with? So I'm type 1 diabetic, and trying to think about how to fuel my body for a run and not crash halfway through and ruin it for, you know, the rest of the day is time consuming. But how do you do that for yourself and the dog? For if you're about to do canicross racing, for example,
it's a shorter distance, so I think just eating healthily throughout you know, your sort of the week. Obviously ultras are, I mean, I'm not an ultra runner, so I don't know enough about that, but basically if you eat healthily, you're eating your proteins, your carbs, yes, you still need carbs, excuse me, you've given yourself enough fuel. The dogs are the same. Some people, I don't do really anything different with Pickle. I think it depends what quality dog food you're on, isn't it? Mm. But some people give them a bit more the day before, because you shouldn't run a dog straight after it's eaten. So either 2 hours at the most or the least. And I tend not to feed Pickle before a race. She can have it later. But yeah, there's nothing, you know, dogs can survive on quite a lot less than us humans anyway, don't they?
Yeah. Why complicate it? Just keep it simple.
Yeah.
The only thing I do after a race is give her a drink.
Give her a rehydration drink, don't you?
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Yeah. Which is like a meaty, stocky drink. But just make sure that she drinks it, because she won't always drink. I mean, every dog's different. She won't always just drink water straight off him, you know, after when she needs it, basically.
With the fig tank, we like to say that she tanks up before she goes for a walk. So she will literally stand there and drink a full bowl full of water before we go for a walk, which isn't ideal. So that's the sort of thing, because I can imagine that that would then interrupt a race quite frequently. Yeah.
Might not feel great.
Yeah, that too. Again, is there any way of being able to kind of manage? I mean, I suppose the dog wouldn't particularly want to go to the loo halfway around a race, but there is that risk, isn't there?
They do sometimes, but they do learn. That's kind of part of the training process, isn't it? That we're doing a race now, so they will learn not to go.
You say that. I have lobbed a poo bag at a marshal before now.
The record when we used to be able to do parkrun was three stops.
I tend to make sure we've done a good warm-up, her as well, because that's when she tends to go first thing.
Yeah.
I love it. We're getting the poo chatting again. That's great.
I know.
We get it into every podcast, don't we?
Yeah. I'm exactly. Sorry. You can't not every single podcast I've managed to do, there is a conversation over dog poo. And in fact, there was actually conversations over human poo. Having moved to London, that was one of the things that I just hadn't anticipated Fig being interested in. Right. And it was one of the most hideous experiences I've ever, unfortunately had to sort of witness. Last week, I was having a conversation with one of my guests about kind of taking, if you wanted to go into Canicross, for example, it's not something that I can imagine you can kind of stop and start with, because you're ultimately training your dog to be. And I mean, I don't know if you guys disagree with that. Do you think, is it something that you can potentially stop and start with? Because otherwise your dog is going to expect to be running those distances.
Yes and no.
That's an interesting question.
Pickles got fitter, definitely got fitter. But then she had pups, so she was fine. I mean, she lost her fitness to a certain extent, but she took it back up again. I mean, she loves it. So, I mean, she doesn't do much in the summer, so...
And that doesn't bother her, kind of, you don't find you're having to overcompensate for, you know, mental stimulation for not being able to run the length that she has.
I think they sense it.
Yeah. I take her to agility in the summer just to keep her a little, you know, but I don't do that all summer. But that's just more for me and her, really, because just a bit of fun. But no, they can pick it up again. You just, if you haven't done it for a long time, you have to build them back up again.
Louise, really briefly, Crufts, how was it?
It's the first time I've been. Can't say I saw a lot of it. I was on the stand. I was working for Nonstop, and I was on the stand for the whole time. I've never seen anything so busy. Yeah, but a lot of people came to say hello. But I saw lots of dogs. But literally, that's as much as Crufts.
Would you go back as more of a spectator?
Yeah, I think I would. Yeah, I'd like to have a look around. It was so busy though, so busy. I was kind of, you know, I mean, it was really busy on our stand. And yeah, I was just absolutely shattered by the end of it.
I'm not surprised.
Talking on Canicross kit, which I'm an expert on that.
Michelle, one final question for you, if you don't mind. What advice would you give to someone who wants a dog?
I would just think about what kind of dog you want and what your life, you know, what your life with that dog will be like. Because I remember getting my first dog and I was working full time at that time, and I was having to get up at 6 a.m. to walk her in the dark. So I would kind of tumble out of bed and I would make myself a cup of tea in one of those thermos flasks, and I'd walk around the village. And I remember thinking, oh my god, what have we done? And then I eventually, as we all do when we become dog owners, is our life changes to accommodate the dog, doesn't it? So I found myself a job which enabled me to take my dog to work. So she came to work with me. And then I eventually obviously like became a Canicross instructor. So now my life revolves around dogs. So I think just be mindful of what that dog will bring into your life and be aware that it will change, because the dog will become the centre of your world if it's anything like mine. So yeah, dogs are... they're amazing, aren't they? But they will change your life completely, because I would never have in a million years have envisaged that I would become a Canicross instructor. It's all down to having a dog.
Thank you very much. And Louise, what advice would you give to people that have a dog at the moment?
Just go out and enjoy it and go and explore the countryside, because it's beautiful. It's muddy, but it's beautiful.
It is. At the moment,
yeah,
it is.
Muddy and rainy, yeah. I'm so looking forward to spring. I can't wait.
I'm actually quite over the mud now, I have to say.
Oh, me too. Honestly, the looks that I get from running through the park with a yellow near white Labrador, and she's just kind of black from the stomach down.
That's why I've got a black lab now.
I know I'm not the only person out there that thought it would be simple enough to run with their dog. If you have any stories that you want to share to make us all feel more human about owning a dog, then please send them over either on Instagram at thedogownerspod, or you can send us an email using the address contact@thedogownerspod.com.